we'd like to say we appreciate the service thus far tonight. Been good to be here. Been good to be in the midst. I'm glad the Lord knows exactly what we need as we go down this journey. There's, I don't know, a lot of things been already said and done. And I appreciate it. We appreciate you being here tonight. We really do appreciate you being in the service. If you're going to read with us, we're going to try to read some out of the book of Philippians, the third chapter. May not do anything. But I'm going to read you a little tonight, Lord being our helper. Appreciate your mind in the Lord. And I'm going to be as honest as we can, but I'm going to try my best just to follow the leadership of the Lord, if I may, tonight. You can get to heaven without knowing some things. There's just some things that people tend to do today and lean toward that's commonly known. You'll get the gist of it here in a minute. It's amazing to me how people got everything figured out. But you can get to heaven without knowing everything. Preacher, I ain't going to amen that. Well, you probably will before I get finished. We think sometimes, I'm going to be honest with you, and it may be, no, it ain't. I ain't going to say that. I ain't going to leave that with you. I never have worried too much about the age group that I was preaching to. I never have. It's just never bothered me what age group that I was preaching to. And I realize tonight, even in the midst of this service, there's there's young folks here that probably won't understand a thing that I say. A lot of them's very young. But there's one thing, without a doubt, if they've been born again, I believe they know it. I believe they know it. They probably don't know the book of Revelation. They probably don't know the book of John. They probably don't know a lot that's in this word. But if they know without a doubt that they've been saved. It's a two-way street. It most certainly is. There's no way under God's heaven. If the Lord saves a person, they know it. They know it because there's something that happened, and I really don't care what age it is. There's something that's happened in their life. They may not can explain it, but they know it happened. They know it, without a doubt. There's a lot of things that in this world that when it comes to the scripture that are commonly accepted. Commonly. Across the board, just pretty much accepted. But a lot of those things are not true. The majority of those things are not true. Those things that are commonly accepted, they're not true. But, Sister Tammy's testimony tonight, and she is talking about her Sunday school teacher, it has a lot to do, and it has a great deal to do with your young people, what they're being taught. Not just Sunday school teachers, but what they're being taught. I write unto you little children because your sins are forgiven you for my name's sake. That's enough. That's all they need to know. In beginning, that's all they need to know. That their sins are forgiven. But the truth of it is, if they've had a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, they know that their sins are forgiven. They know that. I write unto you fathers because you have known him that is from the beginning. Do you see the difference? Children, fathers. Listen. I write unto you young men because you have overcome the wicked one. And I write unto you little children because ye have known the Father. They've known the Father. If they've been born again, they know the Father. Not only that, the Father knows them. Yes, he does. The knowing, the knowledge. But it's up to a lot. It's up to you, parents. It's up to you, my friend, to teach your children. What am I going to teach them, preacher? That right there. I don't know it. get to know it. Get to know it. You know why your mothers and fathers and grandmothers and grandfathers have such a good memory? Why you have such a good memory of them and how they carried themselves? Because they knowed Him that relieved them of their sins. Yes, sir. They knowed Him. Not only did they know Him, but they abided by Him. Those things. There's a lot of things that people know today because they have been taught over and over and over again. And it is commonly accepted, but it is not the truth. You say, preacher, you're off the wall. I'm not off the wall. And I'll say this, my friend. It is widespread across the religious world. It's widespread. A lot of things are accepted commonly because they are taught more so than some other things. We are, and I've always said this, we are a minority. And the truth of it is, we are the minority of the minorities. Why, preacher? Because we do believe the Word of God. And the truth of it is we don't believe it like that is commonly accepted. Preacher, you ought not say these things. I'm not afraid of what I believe. Are you? Now, you might say, I'm just going to say it. Just spill it out there. Might as well. People get in the book of Revelation. They're taught that it is a mystery and they can know nothing about it. That it is all yet to come. That is a lie. That is a lie. That is a lie of the devil. You say, preacher, that's very strong. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. If you're here tonight and you've been born again and you know the Lord in a free pardon of sin, and you don't think that the Holy Spirit can reveal unto you that Jesus and God has left with us, my friend, you'll never make it to the other side. You don't have to amen it. Preacher, you mad at somebody. I ain't mad at nobody. But there's a lot of things that are commonly accepted, my friend, in the Christian realm of the world, brethren, that is absolutely a falsehood. It's a non-truth. The book of Revelation, you say, preacher, you said you was going to read in Philippians. I am here in just a minute. But brethren, you don't have to know Revelation to make it to heaven. But you have to know Him, brethren, that had it wrote. Yes, you do. Yes, you do. You don't have to understand everything that's in this Word of God. Preacher, you're really off the board this evening. I want you to listen tonight. If you have a desire to follow the Lord Jesus Christ, I believe there'll be a desire to read about Him. Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. You want to know why your mothers and fathers and grandfathers and grandmothers had such a good memory, why we've got such a good memory about them? Is because they held this word precious. And they held it high. It was a standard, my friend. It was just not a book that sat on the table. Knowledge, knowing. A lot of things they did not know except the Spirit revealed it unto them. That's exactly what happened to John in the book of Revelation. It was revealed unto him, was it not? By the Spirit. You may think tonight, and it makes no difference. It makes no difference. Brethren, when you or I, either one, my friend, if we want to know something about the Lord Jesus Christ, and we begin to read, and we begin to pray, I believe there's some understanding that comes with it. Understanding. Yes, sir. There's things. This is, Paul left some things with the Philippians. He did. Now, you may think tonight, well, preacher, you're just going in the wrong direction. I'm going to be honest with you. I told you a while ago that I try my best to do that I feel the Lord's laid on my heart tonight. And sometimes it don't come out like we want it to come out. But that's okay. Paul was writing to the Corinthians, and I want to Philippians. And I want to leave just a little bit with you. And the truth of it is, you can pretty much find what he said to the Philippians and the Corinthians and all the other books that he's wrote. It says, finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. To write the same things to you, to me indeed, is not grievous, but for you it is safe. Beware of dogs. Now, I'm going to tell you something, folks. He wasn't talking about four-footed dogs. But he started out in this secular, beware of dogs. Beware of evil workers. Beware of the concision. For we are the circumcision which worship God in the Spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh. You listen to that. Though I might also have confidence in the flesh, if any other man thinketh that he hath whereof he might trust in the flesh, I more. Now, Paul was dealing with that of the old way and that of the new. Yes, he was. And that they held very much so was that they were of Abraham's seed. That's what they held on to. Naturally, that's the reason he said the flesh. He said if we're going to have confidence in the flesh, he said, I'm more. Circumcised the eighth day. Of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, and Hebrew, of the Hebrews, as touching the law, a Pharisee. This is what Paul was. He said, if you're going to boast in the flesh, I've got more to boast about than you do. Exactly what he was telling them. Concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. This is what Paul said. But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. In other words, all that stock that I had in that of being a Jew and a Hebrew and a Pharisee, he said, all that stock that I've had, he said, it's a loss for Christ. For Christ. Why did he say that, folks? He said that because it was no longer of the flesh. It was no longer a Israelite that was of a seed of Abraham, but it was an Israelite that was of the seed of the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, but what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ. Folks, Christ was the ultimate goal. Christ, my friend, and knowing him, I'm going to get there. The knowing. Brethren, these youngest'uns that's just been saved around our church, my friend, for them to know that they've been born again, that is good enough. Yes, it is. Brethren, that is the ultimate goal. Yes, it is. It makes no difference how far you go in this world, how high you go in this world. Without Christ, my friend, you are nothing. He's it. He's the prize. Is he not? He's the ultimate. There's no way that you'll ever make it to heaven without Jesus Christ. No way. Form nor fashion. It doesn't matter who you are. He said, and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. It is not our righteousness that gets us there. It's not our righteousness that overcomes, my friend, our sin. But it is the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. And once you get him, you are clothed and you have the righteousness of God. Yes, you do. Paul said so. He said it's not the flesh and it's not the righteousness of the law, but it is the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what makes the difference. Yes, it is. The righteousness which is of God by faith. Listen, there's a semicolon right there. He says, that I may know him. That I may know him. And the power of his resurrection. Listen. And the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death. There's another semicolon. You listen. You put on Christ, my friend. You put on the whole armor. You get the whole armor. You get it, my friend. If you got it, you got it. If you don't, you won't have it. If by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. Paul said, now you might say, you say, preacher, had Paul attained? You go and read and you'll find out that he is ready to attain. There's some things, my friend, that had to be laid for us, for me and you, brethren, to have the freedom and the liberty and to have salvation from the Lord Jesus Christ. There's some things that had to happen. And there were some things that had happened. Now, there's some things in that of the writings of Paul. I'm going to go on. He said, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead, not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect. Listen, he wasn't perfect and had not already attained in that of which he done. But, he did not stop there. A lot of times we hear them verses and we think, well, he ain't made it. I want you to read on. Find out what Paul was talking about and what he meant, brethren, was the ultimate prize. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. The ultimate. Now, he was talking to people and he was preaching to people, brethren, that had a lot of confidence in the flesh. Had a lot of confidence in that they were a Jew, naturally. Listen, he said, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Did he not say that he is apprehended? Did he not say, my friend, in other words, it's come to him. He followed on. He didn't stop, my friend. He followed on to know the Lord in his resurrection and in his sufferings. That's what he said. Listen, brethren, I count, well, let me get on right. Reaching forth, brethren, I count not myself, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. In other words, he was pressing on. He was following these things and he was pressing. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. There's no way, form, or fashion. I've said it once. I've probably said it four or five times tonight. Brethren, you cannot make it. You will not make it until you are apprehended of and you are absolutely surrendered, brethren, unto that of the goal, which is the prize, which is Christ Jesus. No way around it. He said, let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded. Now, let's go back just a minute. Just a minute. I want to talk about. We've got a We've got a revival coming up. Lord willing, we begin this weekend our revival. I've heard from the congregation, I've heard from other men and different things. We'd like to see somebody saved. Do you know what it's going to take to see somebody saved? You know what it's going to take? It's going to take me and you following the Holy Spirit. Me and you. These men, they're not driving a revival in here. No, they're not. They're good men. I think a lot of them. I like to hear them preach. But I'm going to be honest with you. Without the Spirit of God being in the midst, it'll be dead as 4 o'clock. You know that? It takes the Spirit, folks. It always has. I'm not preaching to you because you don't know this. I'm preaching to you because you do know this. We need to follow that of the Spirit of God. Paul was preaching unto them that was following after the law. And they still had law held on. They had come to this crossroads, crafting, and they did not understand and they did not know how to get rid of the law. It's what they depended on. It's what they had been taught, brethren, from a youth. Now, I've said some things tonight that's probably you don't understand, and it might be a little disturbing, but I'm going to be honest with you. It's about time we get disturbed about some things. There's some things, my friend, that this Christian world holds as common knowledge that is not the truth. Preacher, they're not going to be nobody listening to you cross that airway. They're going to cut you off. I've got news for you. I'm not going to quit preaching what I know to be the truth. It's the Word. And the Word will stand, Crafton. And there's nothing I can do, brethren, to stamp it in place. All I can do is tell you about it. That's all I can do. Is that not what Paul done? Is that not what he done in this scripture concerning that? He told them, I'm pressing toward the mark for the prize of high calling. He said, let us therefore as many as be what? Perfect. Perfect. You get to talking to people today about perfect, my friend, they won't have it. Brethren, Paul said, as many of us as be perfect. What was he talking about? He wasn't talking about being perfect concerning the flesh, but perfect concerning that inward man, that inward Jew. That's what he is talking about. Brethren, there's something perfect about a child of God because it was redeemed by perfection. Yes, it was. That's all Paul's saying unto these people. That's all he's saying. Now, I don't mind telling you. I don't mind telling you. Yes, the Lord stirred me up. Yes. And he asked me, Bruce, he said, what are you going to do? Now, He don't expect me, my friend, to just start up something or to rouse up something, even about his word. He don't expect me to do that. You know what he's told me? You know what he expects out of me? He says, when it comes out, you let them know the truth. Not going to argue. Not going to debate. That's not what it is. Paul, my friend, was not debating with the Philippians. Was he? I'm sorry if I give you what the Lord give me in one sense of the way, but I want to be honest with you, church. Brethren, there's a fire needs to be lit. We sang a song. We don't sing it much. But we sang a song out of the church hymnal. It says, "Search me, O God." And there's a verse in there that says, "Send a revival. Start the work in me." Brethren, if it starts in me, then so be it. Listen, there's a fire, brethren, that needs to break out across this land about the truth tonight. Yes, sir. Preacher, it just don't bother me too much. You know what? We're living in a world to where the most things are commonly accepted and it just don't bother us. The truth. Guilty. Guilty. I can't say nothing about you. Guilty. Guilty. What can I do? What can I do? Brethren, what could that little Shunammite woman do? What did that little widow woman do that old Elisha kept coming by? Talked to her husband, said, "Build him a chamber." Elisha got a hold of his servant and said, "What can be done for this woman?" "Well, she hath no son." He said, "You let her know by the reason of time that she'll have a son." Is that not right? Yes, sir. God blessed her. Can I tell you something? Where did it start? The blessing come because she took time to recognize the man of God. Yes, sir. Folks, when we recognize the truth, we ought to hang that banner high. We ought to have that flag a-waving. Yes, sir, I ain't talking about protesting. I ain't talking about, my friend, getting on the street corner, brethren, and letting it be known. But, brethren, you better let it be known in every step you take. Shame on us. Preacher, you're preaching the wrong people. Can't help it. He said, "Let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded. If in anything ye be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you." Do you know, chances are, I ain't going to get into the rest of it. I'll stop right there. Chances are, if me and you sit down and talked about that word of God, chances are that me and you going to disagree. Do you know that? I understand that, don't you? I had a man to tell me one night. He got in my face to tell me. Crafton, I mean in my face. You know what I mean? And he told me, he said, there's no way that you don't believe that. And I said, I guess there is. And we still disagree. Still disagree. But I got news for you. I love him as much as I ever have, if not more. If not more. He's come to me on one more than one of occasion, and he said, you know, he said, I know we disagree. He said, but I like talking to you, and you got to hold some things I need. It's exactly what he said. You understand that? It doesn't mean we all going to agree on every little old thing. We're not going to do it. More likely than not. But that should not make a great difference between us. It ought to be something that bonds us together. I'm not one of these that I'm right and I'm right. And I'm right. And you're wrong. But the truth of it is, when it really comes down to the nitty-gritty, Bruce, you can't make me believe what you believe. I hope tonight, I hope tonight, I really do, I hope that you've got something out of the message. A little strange in one sense of the way. Tammy said something. There's a lady that was my Sunday school teacher when I went to church. We didn't go that much. But when we went to church, this lady, she's our Sunday school teacher, and she was very knowledgeable. And I was over their house a lot. She had two boys. One was about a year ahead of me, and the other one about 2 years under me. But we got along. So I was around them a lot. And this woman knowed the Word of God. She knowed it. Her husband was a prisoner of war. A lot of people said he didn't have a lot to say. He might not have had a lot to say, but folks, he knowed how to live. For Jesus. You hear me? I know. I was just a kid. But I know. He had a lot to say. Us boys get a little too rowdy and it wouldn't take him a minute to. He'd be in there. He had a little field outside of his house, and he'd let us boys come over. We'd go over and play football, and we'd go over and play baseball, and all have you. But he wouldn't have nothing out of the way. You get to fussing and fighting, he'd be out there in the middle of it. He knowed how things ought to be, and he taught us boys that. He really did. I said all that to say this. There's things that you lay hold of early on in life that may not have come from your parents. It may have come from somebody else. But a way of life, a lot of times, a way of life we learn as we grow up. I thought about the young people around here at the church. I never have given it a whole lot of thought when the Lord laid a message on my heart about what age group I was preaching to. There's a lot of things that's preached that I promise you these little ones have no clue. They have no clue. But if they know they've been with Jesus, that's where it all begins, folks. That's where it all begins. And Paul come to the place, he said, that I might know him in the power of his resurrection. He wanted to know something, didn't he?
Yeah.
He did know something. He laid hold of something. I believe me and you have too, if you have the Lord Jesus Christ. Hope you got something out of the message tonight.